sermon this morning. Have those here. That being said, I want to talk a little bit because a lot of us know the part of the story that Wes shared with the kids earlier, but we often don't look at the beginning part that Miss Evelyn just read for us about King Nebuchadnezzar and building up this great big statue. And if you remember, there's like this multiple times where you hear about the horn and the lyre and the harp, and all of these sounds are going to play, and people are going to bow down and worship this statue. And it always reminds me when I read that portion about how we as people have almost kind of an innate, just this intrinsic response to sound. Sounds matter. People respond to sound. What does that sound?
Earphone.
Earphone. Did anyone just go to reach for it? I don't know about you, but I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I hear that and it's not even really happening. Do you ever have the phantom vibrating phone in your pocket? What about this one? What do you feel when you hear this?
Of gold.
But I will tell you this, in our world today, I have definitely struggled with temptation, and definitely come alongside others who have bowed down in certain ways in their life to the things that gold represents, right? So things like business and money and government, politics, we tend to find ourselves far more worried and anxious and stressed by these gods, these statues of gold, than actually being fulfilled by them. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew not to fall for King Nebuchadnezzar's tricks. They knew that the gods of the economy, these false gods that King Nebuchadnezzar was setting up for them, were only going to bring them destruction. They were only going to tear their spirits apart and make them unhappy. And so even though it seems like, why not just do it? Everyone else is doing it. And hey, if we do it, we won't die. We won't go in the fiery furnace. Why not just do it? They knew that a physical death would not be as bad as what would happen in their heart and their soul if they truly bowed down and worshiped another god. And so the first thing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego teach us about what it means to be an overcomer in an overwhelming economy is that we must live in his kingdom before this kingdom. We must live in his kingdom before this kingdom. And we can't try to do both at one time. That's not really possible. Jesus himself teaches this in the New Testament in Matthew 6:24. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and wealth. You cannot serve two masters. There can only be one. And so take off that last one. You cannot serve God and fill in the blank. It's not always just going to be money there. For some people, money isn't even the thing. It could be other things. You can't serve both God and success. You can't serve both God and politics. You can't serve both God and the world. In other words, there is only one spot available at the top of your priority list. And whatever is in that slot, whatever you put there, absolutely affects all the rest. So one thing I want you to just do a little soul searching with me this morning on is, where are your priorities? What is at the top of your list? Are you living in his kingdom or this kingdom first? Jason and I constantly remind each other and keep each other accountable to this because we have committed to one another that our priorities are God, marriage, kids, work, and then everything else. In that order. God, marriage, kids, work, and everything else. And anytime my life gets messy and chaotic, anytime things feel like they are out of control and overwhelming, I have to call myself and check and go, are we living like that? Are we living God, marriage, kids, work? Because when God is not in that top slot, it gets messy. It gets out of control. Things don't go well. But when God is where God belongs in my life, when I am living in God's kingdom first and not the kingdom of the world first, everything else kind of seems to work itself out. Even in the difficult times, I have peace about the decisions I'm making. Another thing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego teach us today is to choose faith, not fear. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you remember our story from last week, they are under extreme oppression. They have been kidnapped. They have been invaded. They have been taken by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they're being indoctrinated in a whole new way of life. He is very much attempting to brainwash them and Daniel and all of the other people that he has invaded. Okay? So this isn't just, you know, oh, they're awesome and blessed because they're in the king's court. No, they don't even want to be in this king's court. So here they are, they're under extreme oppression. They are facing death. If y'all heard earlier when Evelyn read, anyone who does not bow down will be thrown in the fiery furnace. They are facing death. And rather than caving, rather than allowing fear to control their decision making, they choose faith, not fear. They stand confident on who God is. Now, we might not have have King Nebuchadnezzar striking fear into our hearts today. But I will say there are plenty of others out there, aren't there, in the world who are telling us to be afraid. This week, if you watch the news, even just for a little while, you probably heard stories about all of the suffering and surviving that's going on right now through Hurricane Florence, about children being separated from their parents at our borders, about the fight to win the midterm elections, about how so many leaders in our world, and I'm not even talking about political leaders, we're even talking about church leaders these days, are being accused and are being found guilty of unethical behavior and sexual misconduct and abuse and corruption. We are even facing the fact that our very own president is under the accusations of collusion with Russia. I mean, these are scary things. There are people who watch the news and think, what is life going to be like a year from now? Or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now? I even heard a news story this week about how we are in the 10-year anniversary of the Great Recession. And this guy on the news said, yeah, I mean, we're in a better situation in some ways, but man, if that happened again, we're going to be even worse off. And so, you know, it's really easy to get wrapped up in this catastrophe mindset that everything is terrible. That saying that's been around for far too long now, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, right? I mean, that's been said over and over and over again. And so if you look to the world, if you look to the economy of our day, this world's economy, you might look at life and go, man, I'm afraid. I am afraid. Who even knows what life is going to be like? My life as I know it could be in danger. But on the other hand, when you look at Jesus, Jesus says something totally different to us. In Matthew 6, 25 through 27, he said, what? Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, about your body or what you will wear, is not life more than food? The body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you by worrying, I have to hear this over and over again, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Of course not. The answer is no, right? Jesus says, do not fear, have faith. Life is so much more than the things that we make it. It's more than our houses and our bank accounts. It's more than fashion labels and good food. It's more than physical appearance or prosperity or success. It's more than politics and power. With God, we know as Christians that whatever happens, whether war or famine, wealth or poverty, flood or fire, rebellion or revolution, win or lose, one day the things of this world pass away. And the kingdom of God lasts forever. Love, grace, forgiveness, faith, not fear, are the road to that kingdom. Finally, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego teach us that to be overcomers, we must take action. I want to open back up my Bible, and I think the words are going to appear on the screen for you, and get down to the way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's action changed their life and the life of everyone around them. In verse 13, here's the rest of the story. Do you remember Miss Evelyn left off saying that there are these people that they will not bow down and worship? Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, and you do not worship the golden statue that I've set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, and entire musical ensemble, to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, love this line, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that his face was distorted. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times more than was customary, and ordered some of the strongest guards in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fiery furnace. So the men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their trousers, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was so overheated, the raging flames killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up quickly. He said to his counselors, "Was it not three men that we threw bound into the fire?" They answered the king, "True, O king." He replied, "But I see four men unbound, walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the fourth has the appearance of a god." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. Their hair of their heads was not singed, their tunics were not harmed, and not even the smell of fire came from them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took action based on their faith. And my favorite part of the whole thing is not that they came out unharmed. My favorite part of the whole thing is that they said, "Even if our God does not deliver us from this death, we will not worship you." See, they knew, they believed that God would deliver them, if not from death, then through death. And because they believed this so strongly, they took action that any one of us would have deemed a sure fate of death. And so when I read this story, man, I am convicted, because too often our faith is a matter of what we think and not a matter of what we do. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say to us this morning, it's not just about what you think. It's not just about what you believe in your heart. It's about what you do. And I think God is calling every single one of us this morning, if you have gathered in this place to hear this message today, in what way are you ready to take action? You can think all of the wonderful things about God, but if you don't act on them, you will be overwhelmed by the circumstances in your life. How in your life is it time to take action? You know, I doubt that any of us are facing the death penalty this afternoon, or a fiery furnace in real life. But maybe God is calling you to take action and get outside of your comfort zones. Maybe it's time for our prayers at the altar in our service when we pray every week and we say these things out loud. Maybe it's time to move those prayers from in here to out there. What does it look like that we actually go and participate in flood relief or racial reconciliation or prison ministry or recovery ministry? What does it look like to be the hands and feet of Jesus in your community? Maybe for you it means it's time to turn off the news and participate more in God's economy of grace rather than the world's economy of competition and tit for tat. Maybe it's taking a leap of faith in your giving to offer to God first fruits, really, truly believing that he will provide the rest. Maybe for you, it's quitting a bad habit or ending that destructive relationship that continues to pull you away from the child of God that you are called to be. Maybe it means investing more deeply in your marriage or your family. In some way or another, God is calling you today to be an overcomer. to put his kingdom before this kingdom, to choose faith and not fear, and to take action, to exercise your faith and put your beliefs to work, to get outside of your comfort zone, and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not to allow this economy to rule over your life, but to go from this place free in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you and we thank you that we are not doomed to be overwhelmed by whatever stresses us out. And Lord, each and every person gathered this morning has a different set of triggers for stress and anxiety and worry. Lord, each one of us have a different relationship to different aspects of our economy. But all of us know what it's like to have to function in a world and deal with circumstances that are beyond our control. And so, Lord, I ask that you would continue as we leave from this place to reorient our minds, to remember what it really means to live in your kingdom in this world. That we would be in the world, but not of the world. And that we would be free to live the joyful and abundant life you have created us to live. We pray these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.